Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am
a
sugar baby.
Soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever
What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and I am back. After a month-long hiatus from the podcast, I'm back, and it feels so good to be here with all of you. And now, there's no easy way to say this, so I should probably just say it. But this month will be my last month with Beyond the Secret. And I just, you know, I want to thank everyone who has reached out and sent me messages, because it means everything to me that this podcast has meant so much to you. And I'm forever grateful to every single one of you who has taken the time to listen and, you know, to really make Beyond the Secret what it is. I would not have been able to do what I have been able to do these last 4 years without you. So, thank you. A lot of people have asked what's going to happen with Patreon, and I finally figured it out. I am able to pause the billing for the next year. So if you sign up today, you can have access to the entire backlog of Patreon content, and then you'll have an entire year to listen to it all before it, it's just eventually just going to kind of go away, which is kind of sad when you think about it. I don't know. But it's $10 to do that. $10. And you're going to get access to over 175 posts of never-before-heard secrets and so much bonus content. So if you're interested, there is a link in the bio to sign up. And on it, like, just don't be an idiot. Just do it. If you're listening to this podcast and you like it, you're going to like what's on there. And it's only $10. And when you sign up for Patreon, you get to hear the other part of this story. Because today, I'm bringing you one of my favorite types of stories. I interviewed both a husband and wife, and I got their story from their two different perspectives. And I don't know why it brings me so much joy whenever I get to do that, but it does. It's always some of my favorite episodes. And his story is exclusively on Patreon. Finally, I just want to say that I am so grateful to both of them for opening up about their marriage. I know it can't be an easy thing to be so open about, but they were. And I hope if you're looking for something from this episode, that you find it. This week's secret, married and polyamorous, a wife's story.
So I fall in love just a little on a little bit every day with someone new. I fall in love just a little on a little bit every day with someone new.
Tell me about yourself.
I'm a mother. I'm a photographer. I'm a daughter and a sister. A ridiculously loyal friend. A wife. I'm surviving every day. Just loving other people. I am an extreme Gemini. I'm usually very sweet. I'm very headstrong, very opinionated, but mostly very loving and level-headed.
How did you and your husband first meet?
We met online. I had just gotten divorced after a pretty rough marriage. He was completely not my type, and I was like, let's do this. And we met in a Walmart parking lot. We made out. It was awesome. We dated casually for about 6 months, and then I broke up with him because he didn't have like any emotions, and he couldn't tell me he liked me or wanted to spend time with me, and I was not in a place to do that. So we broke up. 6 months later, I get a message at a Michelle Branch concert from him, and we've been together ever since.
I just have to say, I love Michelle Branch so much.
Me too. Hotel Paper.
So the fact that you guys met in a Walmart parking lot and just made out, was this meetup just intended to be like a hookup that turned into casual dating, or what were you guys going into it looking for?
Definitely. He was like, I'm just trying to be a bachelor for the rest of my life. And I'm like, I just got out of a terrible thing and I want to sleep with everyone in the world. And it just, I guess, worked out.
Talk to me about your previous marriage. How long were you guys together, and what went wrong?
We were really young. We were together 8 years, one kid. After we had the kid, we were very pressured to get married. Neither of us wanted it. We were very, very volatile and very good at pushing each other's buttons. We really struggled to stop using drugs together. I stopped when we had our kid. He did not. It was never good. It was very, very toxic.
You know, I'm going to ask, what kind of drugs?
I was doing a lot of prescription pills, a lot of cocaine. He was doing pretty much anything under the sun, and is still struggling with that on and off. Him, not me.
Once you and your now husband got on the same page, you know, Michelle Branch brought you together. What was your relationship like in the beginning?
In the beginning, it was wonderful. We definitely had the honeymoon stage, and it was quick after that. He met my kid like a couple months after we had started dating again. We moved in a few months after that, and then my dad got sick, and we decided that we wanted to eventually get married and have a kid and move, and everything happened within like a year and a half after that.
What would people see just from the outside looking in if they were to see the relationship between you and your husband?
Outside looking in, we are and always have been picture perfect. We post each other on social media. We go on dates. We're a beautiful blended family. Yeah, I mean, we just look like the all-American white picket fence working couple.
I want to talk about your sex life and maybe how that's kind of evolved from the Walmart parking lot makeout session into, you know, into your relationship as things progressed.
At the beginning, it was awesome, normal, frequent, pretty vanilla, and then you know, life happens. We moved, we had a baby, we got married, COVID, and it stopped, which was hard for me because I have a pretty high sex drive, and there was always excuses from him that I'm tired and I'm just not confident in myself, and nothing I did changed anything to the point where I would be like begging for affection and feeling like something was wrong with me. So it definitely waned there for a bit.
What do you think it was about that particular time that had this effect on your sex life?
So unfortunately, I know what it was. He left his phone here one day, and it would not stop going off. And this was about after 6 months of me asking him if something was going on and if we were okay. And we were not okay, even though he was telling me we were, and I thought I was just losing my mind. If you think you're right, you probably are. There were just so many messages with other people, and one in particular that was a coworker, and that was kind of the turning point for everything.
What types, I mean, I know that we all know what kind of messages, but could we be specific about what kind of messages you saw on his phone?
Yeah, so most of it was pretty superficial, flirty messages on like Instagram and Facebook. Some which were absolutely mortifying because they were two people I have worked with and had worked with after he had sent those messages. So shame on all of you for not telling me. But the one in particular that really, really bugged me was between him and a coworker who started working with him the week of my birthday. And I just remember seeing it and being like, wow, she has a really stupid name. But they were sexy messages. They were sexting, but also talking about me, not negatively, but it just felt so violating to be talked about and while you're doing that with someone else and lying to me.
Not negatively, but what sort of things were they saying about you?
They were like flirting and then talking about how talented I am and how beautiful my work is and how pretty I am. And sometimes she would mention it and other times he would mention it. It was just I couldn't read anymore because it was making me so uncomfortable. And when he got home, I recommended he go to his brother's and take all of his girls with him for a while.
Ooh, how'd that go over?
He went. just for a day, and then our older kid kind of could tell something was up, and I've always been very open and very about communication. So he did come home and stayed on the couch for a while I figured out how I needed to process what was going on.
How would you describe what you were initially feeling? Not the part about them talking about you, but just the fact that he was talking to these other people. And also, I don't know why it matters, but like, were there pictures exchanged or anything like that?
I honestly didn't scroll back enough to see any pictures. The words were more than enough. I don't think there were pictures exchanged, but knowing that he was like seeing her every day as well. And this went on from June until November. I found out on Thanksgiving. So I don't know. He says nothing happened physically, but when you're with someone for, you know, 6-7 hours a day, I don't know if I believe that or not. But yeah, I was really angry, like, obviously. But it wasn't anger that he was talking to someone else. I was angry because he was lying to me about it. And from the very beginning of our relationship, I have expressed that if I am not filling a need, I'm willing to work on it. And I'm open to being open.
What did he have to say for himself once he came back home, once the dust kind of settled a little bit?
The most superficial answer, response that you would expect. I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. I don't know why I did it. All that garbage that you don't want to hear. which just made me more angry. Because, first off, you will do it again. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just don't believe that. It's, how do you earn that trust back? I don't know. I just, that was his only response, and I couldn't handle it. So I left for a couple days and went to therapy.
What would you have liked to have heard in that moment?
I would have loved for him to acknowledge that he should have talked to me about it, that he trusted me when I was being open about being open. I don't know. I don't know what would have made it better or right. I just know that I eventually made it better and right.
And when you had had these discussions before about saying, like, you know, if you're not happy, I'm open to whatever, what did you mean by that? Did you mean, like, I'm open to having you fuck me in the ass? Or, like, I'm open to an open... Like, what were... When you initially said that, where was your head at?
So it's actually something I've brought up with him since the very beginning of our relationship, that I'm open to having other people in our lives. I think that being everything for one person for the rest of one's life is a really big task and kind of unrealistic. I think I've wanted something open for a really long time, even with my first husband. And I was very angry that he was kind of doing it, or not kind of, he was doing that behind my back while I was being completely monogamous and loyal when he had the option to, I don't know, level the playing field. Is that what they say?
You mentioned that you went to therapy, and what was the big takeaway from therapy during that time?
I was first just expressing my anger, and obviously a safe place to do that. And it was just one question that my therapist asked that kind of changed my mindset. And that's when he asked, are you mad that he's seeing other people or talking to other people, or are you mad that he lied? And separating that made a huge difference to me, because I am not mad that he's talking to other people. I wasn't. It was that he lied to me. And communication and trust are my number one values. You have nothing else without those things. And I felt violated that he lied to me. And that helped me get over my anger. And we were able to start rebuilding a connection between us.
In the moment, was your husband able to understand that revelation that you had, that you were upset with him for lying and not for talking to other people?
No, not in the moment. It definitely took a while, a few weeks, almost a month, I guess, of a lot of tension and a lot of him apologizing and just not hearing me, I guess, not hearing what I was trying to say, which was very frustrating. And that led to a very big text conversation. We usually talk in text, we used to. And there was just one day that it all kind of blew up and came to a head, and things have been wonderful since then.
What went down during that texting situation?
I decided to just rip the Band-Aid off. I asked him if he was gay. I asked him if he might be bisexual. I was like, none of this makes sense. Like, you're seeking all this attention. You're not communicating. It just felt like everything was a lie and I was done. And I finally said, I love you. I want to stay with you. I want to try something else. And I suggested being polyamorous and recommended he read this book that I love. And he listened to the book, he read it, and he was 100% on board.
Now, you just dropped a little something in there real quickly. So, going back, who was he talking to?
So he was talking to women.
Okay.
But since we have been together, I have noticed he always comments on male bodies, on male actors. He likes men's pictures. And I was like, there's something here that maybe he's not ready to admit or say out loud. But we got to figure this out, because we were back to not having sex at all. And I can't live like that.
Are you thinking that maybe he doesn't even realize this about himself? Or do you think he's keeping it from you?
He grew up very repressed, very must be macho, and it's just not him. And I wasn't sure, really, to be honest. I just kind of panicked and snapped. And I was like, I'm just asking it. He's downstairs. We're not in the same room. I'm texting. So yeah, I got brave. Changed my life. Changed his life.
And what came out of that discussion?
It didn't come from the discussion. It did come a little bit later, that he is now identifying as pansexual, which has, he's like a completely different person.
Now, I don't think I know 100%, but I think I have a general idea. But for the listeners, pansexual is somebody who says, I'm not attracted to male or female, I'm just attracted to the person, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Once he had this revelation and he opened up to you about it, were you feeling any certain way about it?
Relieved and happy. When I say he's like a different person, he is a completely different person. He is so confident and happy and fun to be around. He talks to me now. We have long talks and we walk every night, and it's just wonderful to see him not be so beaten down and hiding all the time.
Can I ask you about your sexuality and where you fall on that spectrum?
I'm bisexual, and I'm a very sexual human being. I was a wild teenager. We're going to have deeper secrets here. All right. After my first marriage, started doing, you know, all the Tumblr cam girl stuff. And when I started seeing my husband, I was like, I'm not stopping this. Before they took down Tumblr, adult Tumblr, I had 30,000 followers. And once they took that down, I just migrated a bunch of them to Snapchat and amateur porn sites. And yeah, so I need a bit more than vanilla.
Oh my God. So I just feel so excited right now, because I for so long had a girl, and this is just going to be a little segue here for a minute, but I had a girl lined up who had like this Snapchat situation going on, and she kept saying she would do the interview, and then she's like, oh, something came up. And so we never got it to happen. And now we're at the end of Beyond the Secret, and it's like, all I need to know is, like, are people paying for the Snapchat, and how are they paying, and like, how much money are we making by sending our niblets on Snapchat? Do I need to start a Snapchat?
You need to start a Snapchat. Yeah.
But people do pay, correct?
Correct.
And like, they just send you like Venmo, PayPal? Like, Snapchat doesn't have an interface for that, right?
There is Snap Cash, but I just do Cash App. Easier.
And these guys, they just send you a message like, hey, I want to see you finger banging yourself. And you're like, okay, $20. And then they send it?
Pretty much. Or pay to be on my private story where all the good stuff is.
What goes on your private story?
All the dirty stuff. It's much easier than having to send one to each person.
So do they pay like a subscription and then like you have to go through and check each month and then be like, oh, they didn't pay it, so I'm removing them?
So my private story is like a one-time fee, a little bit up there.
How much money do you think you've made from doing Snapchat?
Over the years?
Yeah.
A lot.
Stop it. I'm so jealous right now.
A lot. Yeah.
And you currently still do this?
I do.
Oh my God. There was a
very drunk story last night.
Is it ever like you and your husband, or is this always just you?
It's me and some other people sometimes. Yeah. He has made guest appearances. Other people have also made guest appearances.
Wow. How amazing. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You know what? I love an entrepreneur, and I think give what the good Lord gave you and share it with the world. Spread your seed and spread your legs.
You know what's great is I really started doing it for me just to build my own confidence, and the money just is a bonus.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
That's so, I love that stuff. But the reason that I was asking about your sexuality and hearing this part about the Snapchat and knowing that you are a sexual human being, it's hard for some of the people listening to imagine their husband coming to them and saying, hey, I'm pansexual. But I think you know yourself, you know where you're at. I imagine that wasn't like you said you were relieved. So it wasn't a hard thing for you to hear.
No, not at all. Like I said, it just felt like he was hiding, like always in a shell. And once he said it, like it was like he started glowing. And to see him like free himself felt good for me.
So now we have all of our cards out on the table. Your husband has come to you and he says, I'm pansexual, and you're feeling relieved. You've been to therapy. You guys have had this discussion about being angry about the lie more so than the talking to people. What do you do with all of this information?
So we started looking at the different relationship options. We read this book, The Ethical Slut, which is like our Bible, that just really helps open your eyes that monogamy is not the only way. We looked at open relationships, and we didn't want that because there is still a bit of deceit. I guess there's not as many rules. And I think we both wanted things with deeper connections with other people, not necessarily just one-night stands and friends with benefits, you know, more superficial things. So we started really looking into polyamory and what that meant and all the different ways you can love other people.
So
we decided to do that.
As someone who has not read The Ethical Slut, my question for you is, what is the difference between, the main difference between an open marriage and polyamory? I feel like I should know this by now, but once you said it, I was like, I have no clue.
I guess to us, open marriage just sounds a bit more dirty. That sounds crazy. There's not as many rules with open relationships as there is with polyamory. We are also ethically non-monogamous. So open relationships, it means you can go sleep with whomever, you can do whatever. You don't necessarily have to tell your partner. We choose not to do that. We talk about our partners with each other. There's no lies with what we do. No hiding.
I remember there was a show on HBO about polyamory. And I thought part of the element, and I know I'm wrong, but I thought part of the element to all of that was like, or maybe that's polygamy? Like, you also have some sort of connection to who he's dating, and he has some sort of connection to them? I'm wrong, right. aren't so, I?
No. There's different types of polyamory. And again, for us, we chose to be parallel poly, which means that we don't necessarily want to know each other's partners or have them in our lives. We don't know if that's for every partner, but it's something we would discuss if it ended up being something long-term. Or there's like kitchen table poly, where you do all hang out together and have a connection with your partner's partners.
So you guys are like, listen, this is where we're going. This is what we're thinking. We think we want to be the parallel polyamory couple. What's the first step to like actually implementing that? Like, that seems like it's one thing to say, this is what we think we want to do. This is what we're interested in. This is where what we're feeling. But then to take that first step seems terrifying.
Yeah, I guess it can be. A lot of people, I feel like, probably don't do it right, and that's why it doesn't work or whatnot. But we spent hours going over our rules and our boundaries together about how we wanted to treat each other and how we want to treat our partners and how we want our partners to treat us. And I think that helped a lot. And then once we figured out our rules and boundaries, we started joining dating sites that are more geared towards polyamory and ethical non-monogamy. And it's actually an enormous community. So it's been pretty easy.
Okay, my favorite part of all of these conversations that I have with people is the rules and boundaries. What sort of things did you guys have to put in place for you to both feel comfortable with the situation?
Okay, so for the most part, they're pretty simple. We have a 24-hour rule, so no seeing other people without a plan, no missing kids' things, no missing holidays. That's pretty much it. We also don't want to be talked about with our other partners, like no talking behind our back. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Be safe. We get STD tests. I trust him now. He tells me everything.
Now, when I've had these discussions with other people in the past, and I understand every relationship is different, there's been a lot of focus on like, well, just so you know, I specifically remember one woman was like, absolutely no anal sex with anybody and no eating her out or stuff like that. Like, did you guys put any sort of limitations on what happens in the bedroom, or it's all fine and dandy?
We have no bedroom limitations. He has been very vanilla his whole life and is realizing that he has some of his own kinks. And I have very different kinks that he can't do for me. And he would never limit my other partners from.
What? You know, I'm going to ask it. What kind of kinks are we talking about? And you just talk about yours. I'll ask him about his.
I have a bruising and biting kink.
You like
pretty
to be
strong one.
Bruised?
Yes.
By what means?
Any. Mostly spanking. Huge fan of the shadow ball crop.
What the fuck is a shadow ball crop?
It's like a... It's a silicone, like, rubber ball on the end of a stick.
And they just whack you with it?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I have a question about bruising. Like, I'm 32 years old, and I've had maybe one bruise in my entire life. I don't think I bruise easily. For you, do you have, like, you are like, no, I need a fucking bruise?
At this point, I'm getting sad when my bruises start to fade, and I am covered in them. So, I currently play every Wednesday, and Before I go over, I take 2 aspirin. I do 2 shots of tequila. Helps thin the blood so you bruise easier.
Oh my goodness. Now, where would you say that the bruising kink comes from? Like, what? Is there anything in your life that you can be like, oh, I know why I like to bruise? Or can you explain what it is about the bruise that you like?
I didn't even know I had it until 2 months ago. I knew I liked being spanked before then, but this man has some incredible hands and bruised me very well. And I felt so powerful and like weirdly sexy. And I can feel them every time I move. And it's not painful, it's just there. It makes me very, very aware of my body.
Okay, I'm going to try and relate to this for a minute. If I work out really hard and I get really sore, I'm not horny from it, but I do love every time that I move and I feel it, even though it does kind of hurt, because I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I think it makes me feel like I'm doing a good job, or like I am, I don't know, but I do really like that feeling. And I'm wondering, like, for other people who are listening to this, who are like me and can't understand the bruising element of it, I wonder if it's kind of in that same genre of mentality.
I'd say so. I am a sub, obviously. I like getting a little beat up. It makes me feel like I've done a good job for him, which is, again, like my own kind of power, my own yay me. And who doesn't love to cheer for themselves?
Well, you go, girlfriend. Now, when you guys are playing and he's spanking you with the, what is it called again? The sock ball, or?
The shadow ball?
Shadow ball. Are you, I'm curious to know, because I think if I was getting spanked with something like that, I'm probably just going to naturally scream. If you are screaming, where do we play this game at? Like, that people aren't calling the neighbors and being like, I think there's a woman being abused next door.
Well, to me, once my head kind of goes into something called subspace, where the pain just becomes pleasure. It usually bites me a lot first. And then those aren't screams, they're more like moans. So I'm pretty sure his neighbors know he's having a great time on Wednesdays.
Oh, wow. So I feel like we got to go back a little bit in the story. But that was quite a deep dive there. Thank you for that. We get on this site designed for poly couples. And what's the big takeaway from that? Like, is it, it's a dating site, or it's just like a community where you can kind of talk to each other about what you're going through?
It's just like a dating app, but it allows you to like add your kinks and what you're looking for.
And then you two have to like share an account?
No, we each have our own profile. We can link them, but because we choose not to play together or have partners together, we didn't link them at all.
Okay, gotcha. So you get on this site, and I'm just, you know, I'm curious to know what kind of guys are hopping into your inbox? What sort of things are, like, is this guy that you meet that you play with on Wednesday, like, is he the first guy and you hit it off right away, or is there some others?
So I didn't meet Wednesday on that site. Wednesday is another deep story. But I have talked to some other people on this dating site, and I have a couple dates coming up with them. We're going to try it out.
I have to ask this, and I think I should have asked this earlier, but when it comes to the polyamory side of things, are we looking for relationships, connections? Are we looking for boyfriends, girlfriends, or are we looking to fuck?
So at the beginning, I definitely was not looking for something long term. And the deeper we have gotten into it and the more people I've met and talked to, I definitely can see myself doing more long term relationships with secondary partners. Wednesday was only supposed to be two times, and it's definitely been more than that. I think that's what I love about it, though, is that I am secure and I can change whatever I need to change to fit my needs, as long as I'm not hurting other people.
But do you see you and Wednesday going out on Thursdays for, like, dinner and a movie? Or do you like Wednesday in the space that he's in?
Right now, I like Wednesday in the space that he's in. And I have also liked him on some Saturdays and Sundays. but we've also talked about what I do eventually want, and that we're okay if that's not what he does. Like, it would just end.
And what do you want?
Probably more going out. I like to go out. I like to have fun. I'm an excellent bed bunny, but eventually it's just, I feel like everything has an upward trajectory, and I don't like to sit in the same thing for too long. I say that, and it's been 2 months, but we'll see. I don't like the term going with the flow, but I'm kind of just going with what I'm feeling. It's weird that that's okay now.
Is there any worry or concern when you get into, you know, you and Wednesday have the privacy behind closed doors and biting and screaming and bruising, but if you are interested in a little bit more of this going out and stuff, are you worried at all that people will see you when you're out and people will have questions, or are you just like, listen, people can say what they want to say, I don't give a shit?
So we have told a few people in our lives what's going on, and they've all been pretty supportive. No one's shunned us yet. Fortunate. I mean, I drive pretty far to see Wednesday. My husband has pretty much kept out of our general area, because he does go out on dates, which is fine. There are a couple of people we would like to tell before we're, like, totally out. But we're pretty much out. It's not something you just, like, go and tell people.
What about your families? What do they know anything? Will they know anything?
Yeah, so that's who we're hoping to tell, needing to tell before we start dating more locally. Our parents do not know. Our siblings do. But it's mostly my mother that we're having a hard time telling.
How do you think your mom will react to this?
She will not understand.
Okay.
She's very, very traditional, very religious.
Is there any sort of situation in which your mom, you tell her, she's so adamantly against it that it's enough to make you pull back and not do it?
No. Also, just because I know it's eventually going to get out and get back to her, and I have to choose, do I want her to find out the wrong way from someone else, or do I want her to find out from me? Because if she finds out from someone else, then I have the extra layer of her being mad at me for not telling her. We are very close, so I feel like that might hurt her even more than finding this out.
At this point, is Wednesday the only hookup that you've had?
No.
What were the others?
I had just one other, and it was terrible.
What happened?
He did not respect my boundaries, way too much. Just not at all who he made himself out to be.
And as far as your husband goes, how many outings has he had?
Not as much as me. It's a bit harder for men. A lot of women don't want to see married men. But he has been out with a few people a couple times.
And how did you feel once he was going out? Was there any sense of jealousy that came up for you?
We've both experienced jealousy. And in the past, it, I think, would have ruined us. And both times we've experienced jealousy, we've been able to say, hey, I was jealous here. And then we talk through it and we've worked through what made us jealous, why we were feeling that way. And we've realized that jealousy is a very internal emotion. It's usually something going on with ourselves. And to be able to process that and get through it is the most incredible feeling.
Once you guys established this poly side of your relationship, did he at all go back to talking to those original people that kind of set this whole thing in motion that you found the messages with?
No, that was another rule I forgot to tell you. We have a no friend, no previous partner rule. So no one who's actually in our lives already.
Has your husband been able to, you know, kind of dive a little bit deeper into the fact that he is a pansexual? Like, has he been able to have any sort of experiences with men yet, or have all of his outings been with women?
All of his outings have been with women so far.
Do you have any sort of preference as to who he's going on these outings with? I don't know what to call them. Outings just seems like the right word, because I don't know if it's always sex.
They're not always sex for him. He went out on a date last night. It was just dinner and drinks, a little car makeout. I don't have a preference. I am just happy that he's having these experiences and figuring out who he is, because every day he comes home and still chooses me. No, that doesn't make sense.
I get that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people maybe, I think there's a difference between understanding what you're saying and actually being able to live it. And so I'm telling you, I understand what you're saying. Is that how I would operate? Probably not, but that's, it's not about that. It's just about understanding people where they're at. Do you guys show each other, like, the people you're talking to and stuff? Like, do you want to see who these women are?
So we only show pictures if it's someone we're going to go on a date with, and then that's pretty much it. And obviously he has seen Wednesday on my Snapchat a few times.
And, okay, so your husband did get did you make him pay for the subscription, or did he just get grandfathered
in? I mean, sometimes he's a guest star too, so.
Do you have concerns? Because you are only 2 months into this. Do you have concerns for the effect that this can have on your marriage?
Well, so far it's made our marriage a lot better. I've had more sex with him in the last 2 months than I think we have our entire relationship. We're better. He is talking more. And I think my only concern comes if the communication stops. And I have this, I guess we both have like a newfound respect for each other and our needs. We've talked about if we would ever go back to being monogamous, and I don't think I could do that to him, and he feels the same. The thing that we choose is that we just keep choosing each other first, and that feels really good. But no concerns yet.
Now, I always want to make sure that with this podcast, the purpose of sharing stories like yours is to just open people's mind to different things. And for everyone, that is a different process. For some people, they can hear this story and they can just use it to hopefully better understand other people. But there are some people who will listen, and this will serve as kind of a guiding light for them. And they might be like, hey, this is something I've been thinking about. Hearing this person's testimony has opened my mind up to it more, and I want to implement it. For those people, what would you suggest? Like, what sort of advice do they need to hear? Obviously, we all need to be reading The Ethical Slut.
Absolutely.
What else?
Start with that book, both of you, all of you, whoever, and do not go into this without having set rules and boundaries, and do not break them. It all comes down to how you communicate and how you respect each other. And if you can do that, then the rest just kind of falls into place.
What happens if you fall in love? Like, is falling in love the goal, or is falling in love the thing that makes this whole thing crumble?
I don't think it crumbles. I think it's an opportunity to love more than one person. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you can love someone without having to marry them or be with them all the time. I think love is different in all situations, and I just didn't want to deny it anymore.
I think that's the hard thing for people to understand, and myself included. I think that when I hear about a couple who's in a polyamorous relationship, I think that it's all about sex. And I think that falling in love, to me, sounds like that's the thing that's going to make this whole thing blow up. But you're saying I can love more than one person.
Yeah, I think we've been taught that we're only supposed to love one person. It's like we're only supposed to have one best friend, but that's not true, I guess. I think we all are capable of loving a lot of people. How you choose to love them changes. We love parents, we love children, we love romantic partners, we love exes, we love the idea of somebody. I mean, we're taught that love has no limits, so why do we limit that romantically? My love for my husband doesn't change if I love someone else a little bit, or if I love someone else differently.
Do you see yourself with your husband for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Do you see yourself living polyamory for the rest of your life?
I guess that's kind of a difficult question. Yes, I do. That doesn't always mean I'm going to have other partners. You know, relationships will change and end and shift. There might be times when I have no other partners, or when he has no other partners. There might be times when we both have multiple partners. But I do think we will keep this way.
How does polyamory work? If you find yourself in a situation where you don't have a partner and your husband has a partner or several partners, like, for polyamory to work, do we both have to be occupied? You know what I mean?
Absolutely not.
You would be fine in that situation. Like, let's say that you hit a dry spell for a year or two, and he's just like, all right, babe, I'm going out. See you later. You're okay with that?
Yes.
I feel like that would be hard.
It gives me time to binge watch my shows that I don't get to watch when he's here.
Okay. Really finding the silver lining in that one.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know it doesn't sound crazy. It's like he's going out with his friends the same way I like to go out with mine. I like to spend time with other people, and we have different hobbies and interests. And if he has found someone who enjoys his interests with him, I am so happy for him. And I'm so happy I don't have to go camping. I'm here for it.
The idea of having sex while camping doesn't sound exciting to me. But again, I know it's not just about sex. I'm learning so much. Last question for you. If your husband came to you tomorrow and said, I've changed my mind, I don't want to do this anymore, I hate this, How would you react?
Well, first off, I'd want to talk about it. I'd want to talk about why. I don't think he will do that because of the conversations we've had. But if that's what he needed, we would probably take a break from other partners, not from each other.
Actually, this is my last question. Do you think, so let's say that conversation happens and he just never gets back on board with it. Do you think that you could be 100% fulfilled in your marriage without polyamory?
No, because I wasn't already. There were too many secrets.
Oh man. I find the whole thing to be so interesting because I do think that, you know, a lot of people, when they hear about relationships like yours, they want to believe that it's fucked up or whatever. But when I hear it, I'm like, damn, that does take a lot of fucking trust. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. And I think people just think of it as like, oh, it's just cheating, but with permission and stuff. But I'm like, there's a lot of shit to work through in order to make this work for you. And I don't know if a lot of people could do it.
No, I don't. I don't think they could. It takes so much communication and so much work every day for us to be where we're at. And it was work that we weren't doing when it was just us and we weren't happy.
And I hope that's the takeaway that everyone who listens to this, to honestly, for the past 4 years, listening to Beyond the Secret, is that exactly what you just said. Like, you weren't happy in your life. You weren't happy doing what everyone else is doing. You know, you weren't happy living the cookie cutter life. And you went out, you sought something different, and it's made you happy. And honestly, in a couple of years, in a year's time, could you be fucking miserable because of this? Yes, but don't people get married all the time to people and think that it's great and then a year later they find themselves miserable? Like, that can happen in a monogamous relationship too. Mm-hmm. So if you're happy, then I'm happy and we should all be happy. You're not hurting anybody else by what you're choosing to do. So shut the fuck up.
Exactly. So I fall in love just a little or a little bit every day with someone new. I fall in love just a little or a little bit every day with someone new. I fall in love just a little or a little bit every day with someone new. Over the years, there have been,
I mean, I don't know what better to call them than idiots, who have accused me of trying to throw other people's lifestyles in their face. As if they didn't search out the episode and click play. It's almost as though I forcibly held the speaker to their ear and said, "Listen to this, bitch." But that's not the case. However, that's never been my goal. My goal for these past 4 years was to try and just help people understand facets of other people's lives that they never understood before. You know, like, and I'm a realist. I know my limitations. I'm not even seeking out to try and find acceptance from other people in regards to other people's lives. I know the world that we live in today. I understand that is not an easy thing to come by. Would it be nice? Yes. But do I live under a rock? No. All I'm looking to do is bring understanding. Hopefully, after hearing this story, it may not be right for you. It may not be what you're looking for, but you can understand these people and the choices that they have made. And you can see that it's making them happier. I can listen to this story and I can understand that polyamory is not, it's not for me. But I can't deny that it has brought joy to this couple, and that is awesome for them. I'm happy for them. Why would I not be? To everyone who has ever listened to this podcast and thought it was anything other than what it was, I hope one day that you're able to remove the stick from your ass. But I also hope that if one day you find yourself in a place where you feel alone and you feel like no one understands what it is you're going through, I hope that you are met with more grace than you gave here. Because nobody, not even people with a stick up their ass, deserves to go through life alone. Thank you so much for being here, for listening, and for understanding. I will see all of you at the end of this month for my final goodbye episode.
I fall in love. I fall in love just a little bit every day with someone new. I fall in love.
Everybody has a secret.